we're taking a break from our regular programming of Man Cave. But here's the reality. Almost every man loves their mama. And you see big biker guys, and they'll say, love you, mom, those types of things. Sports athletes love their moms. And so what we wanted to do today is just to celebrate women and Mother's Day in general. So happy Mother's Day to you all you mothers out there. 3 out of 4 kids, they would prefer to spend time with their moms rather than their dads. According to the greeting card industry, there are 40 million more cards purchased on Mother's Day than on Father's Day. Yeah, what? Mother's Day is one of the largest church attendance days, while Father's Day is one of the least attendance. I think moms kind of go, hey, come with me to church. This is what I want for the gift. Kids come out, those types of things. Americans spend, listen to this one, $21 billion on Mother's Day. That's compared to $12.5 billion on Father's Day. That means that dads get 66% for the same amount of work. Probably not really the same amount of work. We're going to take a look at a video this morning, and this video is a question of who do you love more, mom or dad? And this is a street video. Let's play that now.
What's your name?
Evan.
Let me ask you, Evan, who do you love more, your mom or your dad?
My mom.
Mom? Why do you love mom more?
Because it's nicer, I think.
And why can't you stand your father?
Sometimes he's rude, I guess.
What's your name?
Matthew.
Matthew, who do you love more, your mommy or your daddy?
My mommy.
Let me ask you, who do you love more, your mommy or dad?
Both.
Yeah, but you only have one life preserver to throw them.
Okay.
Who's going to get it?
Mom.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Who do you love more, your mommy or your daddy?
Mommy.
Why?
Daddy.
Who do you love more, your mommy or your daddy?
Mommy.
Why does he hate you?
He doesn't. He just loves you more. Loves her more.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Would you trade your dad for Spider-Man?
Okay.
Who do you love more, your dad or your mom? Okay, a zombie is going to come and eat one of your parents. Which parent do you want the zombie to eat? Dad or mom? Who do you love more, your mom or your dad?
My dad.
Your dad. Who do you love more, your mom or your dad?
Boy.
Both.
Both?
Right.
Imagine a piano is going to fall on one of them. Which one do you want the piano to fall on?
You gotta pick one. It's mom or dad.
Dad?
Dad?
Why? Why would you want the piano to fall on dad?
Sorry, Dad. You guys better back away.
Well, it's Mother's Day, and we want to take just a look at the Barbie of the Bible, and there's a picture of the ideal woman in the scripture. Before we get there, let's just pray. God, we come before you. Thanks that we can laugh in church, and God, we're thankful for moms. We're thankful for women in general. We just ask that you would bless the time that we have to open your word, and God, that it would be an encouragement to each one that's here today. Encouragement for the greatness of what you've done by creating women. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the ideal woman like? And if we were to ask that question today, there would probably be a variety of answers. maybe more on the chauvinistic side, we would say, you know, something like someone who listens to my whims and waits on me hand and foot and kisses my boo-boos and all of those types of things. And then on the other side, we would have maybe more of a neo-feminism type of an idea where it says that the ideal woman does the work of two men. And if women were prime minister or president, there would be no more wars, no more hunger, unemployment would not exist, and the answer to that is probably somewhere in the middle of that, the ideal woman, and the scriptures actually kind of give us a picture of that, and picture of what does it look like for the ideal woman, the Barbie of the Bible, if you will, and it's found in Proverbs 31, and this proverb is God's description of the ideal woman. And God isn't a chauvinist, and he's the creator God. And ladies, he's designed you, and he's created you, and he knows what will satisfy you and bring you fulfillment. And if we start to look at this passage, I think we get to see the beauty of who God is through this and how he's created. And keep in mind, this is a proverb. It was written not to make you feel guilty or place unrealistic expectations on you. It was written to build you up and to show you this God-given potential that is in that God has designed and given you. And so we're going to start, and it's going to start with in verse 10, and this is the value of a wife. And ladies, this isn't to say that you'll never have a filled life if you're not married. Actually, you know what? Nate just got engaged right up here in the front row. We just learned of this. And so, I'm sorry, what is your future wife's name? Emily. So Nate and Emily, let's give them a hand. It's fun to have the microphone. I get to embarrass people, and it's a good thing. So congratulations to you guys. But if you're in that place in this role of singleness, the Bible describes that as good. It says it's good to be married, but it also describes that singleness as being good and honorable also. In 1 Corinthians 7, I believe it is, it talks about the abilities that you have as a single person that a married person doesn't have. This ability to serve God in just this incredible ways that a married person doesn't have. And so I want to take and look at this passage, but really look at it with lenses of there's lots of possibilities for women, and God has created women with this ability to do an incredible amount of different things because he is the designer, he is the creator. And in this one, it talks about a wife. And it says in verse 10, and it'll be on the screen next to me, it says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels, or one translation says rubies. The hearts of her husband trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And so in this passage, it says that she earns her husband's respect by working with him instead of against him. And husbands and wives, moms and dads working together, as it's a team concept here. And there's a team concept within this that they're working together, and he trusts her, and she's more precious than jewels to him. And what are they working toward? They're working toward creating a family, toward creating a godly family. And she is a valuable component to that. They're also working together to maintain that family, to provide for that family. And they come together in this ideal way to work at this together. It goes on in this passage in verse 15 and verse 27. She works hard at home. And it says she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And so she's busy. She's working hard. She's up before the sun comes up, and she's providing for the house. And she's working at the affairs of the house, and she's not lazy, but the opposite of that. And she's not idle in her work. And so one of the most demanding jobs in the world, I think, is being a mother and a wife. And I got to experience this. Jen went away for a couple days, and I was home with the boys for the weekend. And what I kept getting is this question: when's mom coming home? And I'm like, why do you want mom to come home so bad? Like, you know, I'm starting to feel a little bad about myself and my parenting. And I'm like, is she just nicer? And they're like, yep. They just let me have it. Yep, she is. And so she comes home, and they tell her, and she asks questions of them, and they're telling what they did. And then she asks questions about what they ate. She's like a dietitian. Moms are like dietitians, right? And they're teachers. And then one's a little bit more emotional than the other, and she's asking what's wrong, why is he in that place, and you know, they're child psychologists, and this is a mom, this is a hard job, and it takes hard work to maintain that family, to have those relationships with kids, and the Barbie of the Bible does that well. And gentlemen, we think we get it, but the reality is we probably don't give enough credit in this area. We probably don't refer to our wives in a way that honors them as we should, and appreciate the hard work that goes in to being a mom and being a wife. And they have a really hard gig in some ways. They have to put up with us, but also they're incredible at working with kids and doing those things. And they're a helping hand in this partnership. Another picture here is she works hard at her job. And this is found in verse 18 and 24. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. And these verses, what are they describing? They're describing a career woman. She's busy. She's buying. She's selling. She's trading. It's, I think, really interesting in this passage. It doesn't like condemn the woman for working outside of the home. And so I know sometimes that's kind of an issue of tension in places. And yet this, it doesn't condemn, it actually commends in Proverbs 31 of working outside of the home and how they do that. Ladies, if you don't have to work outside, then take, you know, if you don't have to work outside of the home, then take advantage of that and add value to the home. But if you do find fulfillment in employment and do find fulfillment outside of the home, I need to be careful on how I say employment, because moms who stay at home work very, very hard. But if you find employment outside, you are providing for the family. You are doing things. And this is a picture of it. Do it well. It's part of the Creator has made in you is this ability to do this, being a good wife and a good mother, because you're helping to provide for the family. You're this team effort idea that's all through this. Number three point in this text is that Barbie even works hard when she shops. And so she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And so she's shopping, she's working, she's considering wool and flax, and she sees this field and she says, this is a good deal, I'm going to do this. And so what we see here and what is commendable here is she knows the value of things. She knows the value of this vineyard, but she also knows the value of a dollar. And she doesn't squander the family livelihood, but she figures out how to cut costs and how to create a product for the family to use to sustain the family. I was looking at a mom's website in preparation for this, and you know, mom's websites, they have all these tips, and I don't know if there's guy websites that have all these tips, but there's mom websites out there all over the place that have tips of how to be a good mom and how to be a good wife, and so I went on a few of those things and said, I asked the question in the search of, like, how do you save money as a mom? And so one of them, and this is kind of a conglomerate of a few of them, but they said, you know, you can put gardens in, vineyards. You know, you're probably not a vineyard up here. That probably wouldn't work very well. You probably would not get anything back from that. I don't know. Do grapes grow up here? I don't know. Do they? Somewhat? Yeah, okay. Maybe you can put a vineyard in. Okay. Garden. Making meal plans was another suggestion. They said, this is kind of a simple one, but making coffee at home instead of going to the local coffee shop, and just, it's a way of saving. Clipping coupons, I don't know if we do that anymore, but I think you can get them via your phone. Limiting going out to eat. And I thought this one was just kind of interesting. It's, they said, buy trendy jewelry instead of complete new outfits all the time. And so, you know, dress up what you have and make it work. And so you might not buy a vineyard, you might not buy a field to plant, but you can save enough probably to take your kids to Disneyland or do something with a family, pay off debt, whatever that may be, and work as a team in that. And that's the picture in Proverbs, is that there is this ability to understand the dollar and to provide for the family. She's a virtuous woman. Our society, and it's over and over and over again, puts a lot of value on outward beauty and how a woman looks. But there's more to the ideal woman than her looks. And she has substance and she has virtue. And in verse 20, it describes just a portion of that. And she opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And so there's this picture of compassion that this virtuous woman, this Barbie of the Bible, has. And we've met these people before, haven't we? We've met these women before where they just have it. They're just compassionate and they see the needs of others. And it's not that they don't take care of themselves, but they see these needs and they're willing to get dirty, their hands dirty, to try to help someone else out. And this is a picture of beauty in this passage. It's a picture of beauty for women to be able to do this. And it's really something beautiful when we see it and when we see that in someone. Verse 25 describes another character. She's clothed with strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. And so what does that mean? She can laugh at the days to come. Basically, she's okay with who she is. She's okay in her own skin. She's comfortable being herself. She's comfortable with how God had created her. And there's something beautiful about that when you see that. When a woman has that air about her, if you will, that she's just comfortable in what God has given her, how he's knit her together, how he's designed her. And there's strength and there's dignity in that. In verse 26, it talks about her being a counselor. And it says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She speaks with wisdom, and she's faithful in her instruction. It's just there. It's a part of who she is, and it's a part of how she conducts things. She's willing to listen, willing to hear and say, hey, this is what I know, and to willing to give that away to other people. And this is a picture of the ideal woman, and it looks a whole lot like Jesus, very much like Jesus. Remember, women are created, men are created too, but women are created in the image of God. And a picture of who Jesus is a picture of who women are. And there's a picture in this where you see this. And to acquaint ourselves with this passage is something I think is of value to us. To follow that example, not to say you're going to have all of this or do all of this, and to be running from one thing to the next thing, but to do who you are, to do that well, Because when you do those things well, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you work, whether you're single, whether you're really fulfilling what God has created. And you know, Jesus promises us something. He says, I've come, and I've come to give you life to the full. And when you enter into the way that God has designed you, when you enter into what God has given you, it reflects the Creator, and it actually satisfies your soul. It satisfies who you are. And this passage is just filled with potential of how the Creator has designed women. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. And here's the reality of this passage. Women, you're amazing. Amen, brothers? Yeah. Yeah. And we could close here, but I want to mention just a couple of other things. One is because women are amazing, they deserve praise. And in verse 30, chapter 31, verse 28, it says, her children rise up and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Did you know that Jesus had a mama? And what did he do? He made sure she was taken care of before he went to the cross. Jesus loved his mama. And this, it rises up and call her blessed. Mary is, in the scripture, is referred to as blessed. She is the mother of the Savior of the world. And, you know, moms, you come up and kids, I don't know, like dads, it's not as easy for your kids to go, hey, you're blessed. But for moms, you do your thing, and kids love you, and this is one of the things in this passage is that her kids love her and they call her blessed, and it says many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And when you see your wife, your girlfriend, a woman just pursuing God. That's something to be praised. That's something to say, hey, that is a beautiful thing, because she's living up to the potential. She's living up to this image of God she's been marked with. It says, honor her for all that her hands have done. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. In these last four verses, it really gives us a different picture of how we're to appreciate women. In those last four verses, godly women deserve to be praised. Husbands, teenagers, children, do you know why you ought to praise these women who are in your lives? Number one, I think, is, you know what? We all like to be praised at some level. And it feels good. When you praise your wife or your mom and you say, hey, this positive talk, it feels good for them. And noticing that in their lives. And they do a bunch of stuff behind the scenes often. And I'll be honest, I don't always do a great job of this. And my wife will tell you that, because she tells me that. It's in my head, right? It just doesn't always come out of my mouth. And we need to articulate that. We need to speak those things. And when virtues in their life show up and are seen, we need to speak about them. And we need to recognize the goodness that is in them. And because it's a picture of who God is, it honors God. God made the world, and it's his work that he created women. Do you remember when Adam was all by himself? You know, we don't actually know how long he was by himself. You know, and you can say, well, it was just a day. I'm not sure. If you put me out in a place all by myself for a day, I'm probably not going to be that lonely. He had animals to run after and chase and all those things. I think he was there for a while by himself, and he went, holy smokes, I'm all by myself. This isn't good. And it's not good for man to be alone, it says. And then God gives him this helper. God gives him this helpmate. And he's like, whoa, this is awesome, right? And it honors God when he says, whoa, woman, this is good, right? It honors God because he's praising God in what he has created. And when you praise the creation, when you praise what God has made, you actually honor him. When the boys were little, there's this group of women that used to like let one woman go and two would watch all the kids. And I remember I picked up our kids, and Jen had been gone somewhere else. And I picked up our kids, and one of the people that was watching, her name was Asta, said, "Oh, Levi did just such a good job today. He helped pick up, and he did, I don't know what the rest of them did, but that one did a really good job." And you know what? When she praised Levi for doing his job and doing those things, it actually honored us as a parent. In the same way, when we praise God, like, "God, you are awesome that you created women and you did this, and I see this in them," and we praise that woman in our life, in kind of on a sidebar, we're actually praising God. We're actually praising God. And so there is another thing that I think, because I think when we praise women, godly women, I think it actually strengthens them. And there's a temptation, and there's all of us have this, there are that want to move us away from God. There's temptations to go, "Hey, I'm not good enough," I'm failing as a parent, or I'm failing as a wife, or I'm failing as this, or I'm failing at that. And there's these tapes that play in our head. I don't know this because I'm not a woman, but they play in my head. So I'm assuming because women are human, they play in their heads too. These tapes of inadequacy, they play over and over and over and over again. And when we go, "Hey, you're doing awesome. I see this. I see how God has created you, and you did this. And this is just amazing." What it does is I actually think it strengthens them. It encourages them to continue to pursue the Creator, the one who's made them. And it's a beautiful thing for that to happen. Encouragement and praise is a powerful thing. It has the power to mute the tapes, those negative tapes that run in our heads. As we kind of conclude this today, I just want to encourage you. If you're a son or a daughter and a teenager or an adult, you need to call mom, wherever you may be, talk to mom, say, "Mom, I love you." And just try to encourage her in that. Say the things that you would want to say to her if you couldn't say those things to her. Tell her those things before the day is up. And if you're a dad and you have some kids, and don't do this. Don't go, "Well, you know, for your wife." Don't go, "Well, she's not my mom." That's a very bad idea. Help your kids, if they're young, to get a present or make a card or do something. Here's just a tip for you. Chickadees downtown. This is a shameless plug. They wrap things for you. Amazing. Anyway, get out there and encourage. We have some incredible godly women here. And I want to encourage you. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for showing us a picture of who God is. And as you live your life out, and as he's created you in his image, thank you for living and being wonderfully created by him. And thank you for giving us this picture of who God is through you. We have a little gift for all women, not just moms today. It is Mother's Day. We want to say happy Mother's Day. But we also, for all women, in the back on your way out, young, old, doesn't really matter to us. There's a flower there for you. Take one of those on your way out. So we want to say thank you today. And let's pray. And the band's going to come, and we're going to close. God, thank you for women. Thank you that you chose to create women. We're thankful that it gives us a picture of who you are. And you've created humans in your image, and you created women in a very special way, just as you've created men in a special way. But God, thank you for that picture of who you are that is found. God, we just ask that our women would be blessed today. God, that they would pursue you more today, that they would be encouraged to walk out of here knowing that they are wonderfully made by you, that they are created in your image, and that they have all of the things that they need to follow you and to pursue you and to honor you through their lives. God, as men, I ask that we would be people who are encouragements. God, make us sons, sons who that love their moms in such a way that we'll be able to articulate it. Make us husbands who are just a encouragement to our wives. God, let us as families, God, I just ask that we would be a team, that we'd be unified, that we'd be pursuing as a family, we'd be pursuing this idea that we want a godly family that's provided for and that pursues you with all our hearts. God, we want to love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. And God, help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.